Welcome to Risky Business News, a podcast and recent news from the cybersecurity industry. This is Catherine Campano. Today is October 24, and this podcast episode is brought to you by Asset Inventory and network visibility company RunZero. We're going to start off today's show with the findings of an extensive study performed by academics from Leiden University in the Netherlands, who downloaded and analyzed more than 47,000 GitHub repositories containing proof-of-concept exploit code for vulnerabilities discovered between 2017 and 2021. The research team analyzed if the exploit code communicated with malicious IP addresses, if the exploit code contained any obfuscated code, or if the exploit contained malicious binaries. The team said that using this analysis method, they identified that roughly 10% of the repositories they analyzed contained malicious code, accounting in total for 4,893 booby-trapped exploits. Among the most dangerous examples the researchers' team saw, they found exploits laced with CobalStray backdoors, info stealers, and a plethora of remote access trojans. Academics said the number of malicious repositories was high in 2019, 2020, and 2021, compared to 2017 and 2018. They argued that this happened because those 3 years saw a large number of severe vulnerabilities, which led to the creation of more POCs, including malicious ones. Moving on to news and hacks and breaches, a hacktivist group calling itself Black Reward took credit last week for hacking Iran's atomic energy organization. The group released more than 50 gigabytes of data containing emails, contracts, and construction plans related to Iran's Russian-backed nuclear power plant in Bushehr, and also requested the release of political prisoners detained in the Mahsa Amini anti-government protests over the last month. Meanwhile, in the EU, retail giant Metro disclosed a cybersecurity incident that has been affecting its ability to provide IT services to its stores in Austria, Germany, and France. According to German IT blogger Günter Born, the IT outage has been causing issues for the company for almost a week since at least October 17. While the Metro incident is suspected to be a ransomware attack, it can't be any worse than the incident that's affecting Pendragon, one of the UK's largest car dealerships. The company confirmed it was hacked and was being held for ransom by the Lockbit ransomware gang, which requested a whopping $60 million to decrypt the company's files, one of the largest ransomware demands ever requested. As security researcher Dominic Calvieri pointed out, the Lockbit gang appears to have requested such a large ransom demand because Pendragon was in the midst of being acquired and the threat actors thought they could capitalize on the company's fear that the incident would impact its acquisition price and process. In government and policy-related news, following a string of high-profile hacks over the past month reported at Optus, Telstra, Medibank, Woolworths and Energy Australia, the Australian government plans to introduce new legislation this week to significantly increase penalties for repeated or serious privacy breaches. According to officials, the new law will increase maximum penalties from the current $2.22 million to $50 million, which is around $41 million. Meanwhile, in the US, the Transportation Security Administration unveiled new cybersecurity regulations for passenger and freight railroad carriers. Railroad companies will be mandated to deploy network segmentation policies that separate OT systems from their IT networks, and they'll also have to deploy threat detection systems and timely patches for operating systems, applications, and firmware. The new rules take effect on October 24 this week and will last 1 year. In government surveillance news, the Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project reported that India's Intelligence Bureau, the country's main domestic intelligence agency, bought hardware from Israeli spyware firm NSO Group that matches the known description of equipment previously used to deploy the Pegasus spyware. News of the OCCRP's findings come after several Indian activists have reported receiving alerts from Apple about their devices being targeted with the Pegasus spyware last year. In cybercrime-related news, Adrian Kwiatkowski, a 22-year-old from the UK, was sentenced last week to 18 months in prison for hacking the personal accounts of famous pop stars, stealing unreleased music, and then selling it online in exchange for cryptocurrency. According to the UK Crown Prosecution Service, Kwiatkowski was in possession of 565 stolen and unreleased songs and admitted to selling 2 unreleased songs by British pop star Ed Sheeran and 12 songs by American musician Lil Uzi Vert. Researchers from Guardio Security also published details today on Dormant Colors, of Red Actor specialized in distributing malicious Chrome and Edge browser extensions. According to the researchers, this group relies on malvertising to promote and draw users on malicious sites that offer helpful Chrome and Edge extensions. The group also uses a novel way to sideload malicious code inside the extension, which it then uses to steal browsing and search data, and also hijacks affiliate IDs on more than 10,000 websites inside an infected user's browser. Guardio said they named the group Dormant Colors because most of their extensions typically provide the ability to customize user interface or website color schemes. In other threat intel news, we had a few reports published over the past few days on various threat actor groups. For example, CloudSec published a report on Team Mysterious Bangladesh, a group of pro-Bangladesh hacktivists planning cyber attacks against Indian government targets. CISA, the FBI and the HHS also published an advisory on Friday on doxing Team, a cybercrime group that has been predominantly targeting US healthcare companies with ransomware and data extortion operations. NCC Group also noted that a new ransomware gang named Sparta shot up to the number 4 spot on its ranking of most active ransomware gangs for September 2022. And a recent report linked two ransomware operations named Tommy Leaks and Schoolboys to the same threat actor. In addition, we also had a few malware technical reports published since our last show. Splunk researchers took a look at Dark Crystal Red, also known as DC Red, a common payload used by many of today's low-sophisticated threat groups. Broadcom's Symantec team analyzed XByte, a data exfiltration toolkit used by one of the affiliates of the BlackByte ransomware operation. Checkpoint took a deep dive into the BlackBuster ransomware code, and Dr. Web researchers said they uncovered a series of Android shopping apps meant to infect Malaysian users with a new Android banking Trojan. In APT news, Zscaler published a report on Warhawk, a new backdoor deployed by the Indian Sidewinder APT in attacks against Pakistani targets, while Cyfirma researchers said they observed the APT34 group exploiting CVE-2022-40684, a recently disclosed authentication bypass in Fortinet devices. Links to all of these reports are included in today's show notes. On top of this, after Mandiant's report last week on URSniff and its pivot from banking Trojan to a modular backdoor, CSIS researchers also published today a report on the malware's business model and its evolution across the years. Benoit Ancel, a malware analyst at CSIS and the author of the research, is here to tell us more.
Today, we are publishing a blog post about the history of ISFB. ISFB is a Windows malware, a banking Trojan, used for around 10 years in order to target a financial institution. ISFB has been described by many different blog posts already, but the different versions and branches of ISFB make it very difficult to understand the threats and how the actors are organized. The banking Trojan industry is around some kind of crisis these days. It's more and more difficult to steal money from the bank via a banking Trojan because of antivirus, because of new protection from the bank. And we observe those groups, usually around banking Trojan, moving to threats like ransomware and things like this in order to keep up with the business and still have profit without being able to fraud the bank. Very recently, Mandiant published an article about the new loader LDR4, and it's actually the new move from the ISFB group. They move from banking Trojan to ransomware or other second stage attack via a new loader. And we choose this time to publish the whole history in order to make sure that everybody understands the potential threat that is behind that loader and to understand better the history as a criminal human point of view. This blog post is the result of around 10 years of investigation and discussion with other researchers of the industry. The story being very long, we choose to split it into different chapters. The second chapter will be published in the next couple of weeks and will cover more in detail the RM3 group itself and their daily work, how they interact and how they distribute the malware, how they make profit with ISFB.
Moving on to vulnerability news, US cryptographer Nicky Muha unveiled details last week on CVE-2022-37454, a vulnerability in the Extended Ketchup Code Package, or XKCP, a popular library that helps developers implement cryptographic schemes. The vulnerability discovered by Muha impacts XKCP's SHA-free implementation and allows attackers to execute arbitrary code or to eliminate expected cryptographic properties from encrypted content in applications where the library was used. Muha said he worked months to have this issue fixed, and patches were deployed last week for XKCP and its Python, PHP, and Ruby implementations. And last but not least, Fortinet researchers also published last week details on 24 vulnerabilities in various Autodesk software products, including many remote code execution issues that could be used to take over systems running the vulnerable software. This is it for today's news. In our sponsored section, we'll hear from Pierce Berry, principal security researcher at RunZero, about the company's main product, which can be used to find unmanaged or unknown devices on your network.
Unmanaged devices on a network can pose very real challenges and problems for organizations. Regardless if they were orphan devices which lost their owner, or unauthorized devices added with or without malicious intent, unmanaged devices can provide various attack vectors for someone looking to, quote, get in. These vectors can be via unauthorized software or protocols, unexpected network bridges being created, out-of-date operating systems, and more. Unmanaged devices have become such a concern that a recent binding operational directive from the U.S. government's CISA agency raises asset visibility as a top priority. At RunZero, we understand the importance of discovering every asset on your network, and we've recently started a short blog series on unmanaged devices. You can check out the first installment in our new blog series at runzero.com/blog. And don't miss the free trial link at the bottom, no credit card required, to discover how RunZero can help you quickly find unmanaged devices on your network.
This is it for today's news. You can find links to all the technical reports mentioned in this podcast in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com, and you can subscribe to our podcast via our website at risky.biz.